Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Well, here we are again to spend another Thursday evening together, or whenever it is that you're listening to this, but we're recording it on Thursday, and we're going to have a great time with my guest, Tina Irwin, who is on the same page about ghosts as I am, but obviously has a different experience and different story, so we'll have a great time. And we will do that after tonight's metaphysical musing. And have you noticed that all kinds of wacky stuff is going on in the world? Or am I the only one that notices these things? Obviously not. Things are getting pretty wild and crazy out there. And at the moment, we've got the world's largest typhoon bearing down on the Philippines. And the sun has thrown off some of the largest solar flares that have ever been measured. And politics are off the walls crazy. And we could just continue the list. But chaos always comes before a major change. So when you see this kind of totally off the walls chaos, you know that something is about to happen. This is some kind of transformation, some kinds of transition. The good news is that that's been predicted for a very long time, and the transition is a very good one. If you're plugged into all that stuff and you believe that the stories that have been told for thousands of years, we've gone through a very dark period where if you look at the world in terms of dark and light and evil and good, the dark forces have basically been in control. And the transition is moving into a new time where not only won't they be in control, some people say they won't even exist, that duality will be gone. Now, they're not going to leave without a little bit of resistance. So there's all kinds of resistance and craziness going on. And if you watch American politics, you can see it played out on the news networks. But the direction that everything is going is that there will be a new kind of experience of peace and cooperation, and I don't even know how to express it because we haven't really experienced it, except maybe since we were very small children and life was perfect and all the people around us loved us and took care of us. So maybe we do have that still built into our adult consciousness, but can you imagine a world in which there's lots of love and everyone takes care of each other and everything works for the good of the planet? I hope so. So as we look at all this chaos and all this craziness and all these changes and the things that are probably happening emotionally for you and in your body, because our bodies are part of the planet. When this kind of craziness goes on, it affects all of us. But what's on the other side of all this is an incredible opportunity to be on this planet when a major change happens and experience it. So I'm excited. It's going to be fun. But we have to go through this part. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now I'd like to introduce my guest, Tina Irwin. Are you with us, Tina?
I am here. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I heard you, Wendy Garrett, who has a show on Empower Radio and is actually the person I have to thank every time for getting me involved with Empower Radio, interviewed you. And I listened to the interview because Wendy said, you know, this gal is on the same page you are. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely have to get together and have a conversation. And just one of the things about talking about ghosts is that there's a lot of crazy stuff about ghosts. And then there are people that actually have a pretty good idea from personal experience what's going on. And amazingly, all of those people pretty much agree on what's going on. And you're obviously one of those people. So thank you so much for being with us. And you've got an extraordinary background. And so what I'd like to start with is for you to just give people an idea of how you got to where you are now, both in terms of just in general what you've done in your life. But how did you wind up interested in ghosts and learning all this stuff about ghosts?
I think I'm like a lot of people who discover early on that they have some modest level of psychic ability and starts out as kids, they sense or they see something or they can do something somebody else can't, and or they have a knowing. They just know there's reincarnation, or they know something that they heard in church really isn't true. And that knowing stays with that person. So it happened to me. I saw a modest level of psychic ability. And I, of course, had to make a living. So I joined the Navy in 1972. And I loved the Navy. I met my husband my very first day at my first duty station. And I have been married to the man for 40 years.
Which is an incredible accomplishment all by
itself. It's an incredible accomplishment. You know, if you're married to somebody who's really psychic, it can be really hard.
Yes.
So I give my hat is off to my husband, and he really is the love of my life still after all this time. We talk, he's at sea right now after all this time. He's still at sea. He retired and then still goes back and forth to sea. And because I'm in the Navy, you think you're surrounded by all of these people who are very engineer-minded and they're left-brained. But I worked for the submarine force for 20 years. I'm a retired Navy commander. I did not command a submarine, but I worked for the submarine force because according to congressional law, women could not have command of submarines during the time I was in the Navy. However, I got to experience the astonishing ability and sensibility of submariners. Mm-hmm. These men deliberately sink their ships, meaning they submerge their ships. They go to various depths.
I've never heard it put that way.
When you deliberately sink your ship,
right,
you better be really tapped in to what's going on your ship. You can feel the ship. It's all metal. HY-80 steel in the 70s is what Electric Boat Division made submarines out of. HY-80, it's now I think it's HY-120 or beyond. HY meaning high yield steel. Mm-hmm. So when you have this gigantic multi-gazillion dollar ship and 150 men working for you, what happens is really good captains feel the ship.
Right.
They feel the crew. They know when something's off. They can feel it. And so early on, I listened to their stories. I listened to these men talk about their gut instinct. And I had a feeling and I could just tell. Well, what is that if it's not psychic ability?
Right.
But these really brilliant guys who are a bunch of old reincarnated Atlanteans playing with cool new toys, these guys really psychic. Mm-hmm. And they know how to look at something. And I have some amazing Navy stories about some very psychic experiences these men had. And it really taught me that everyone has it. Everyone calls it something different. And everyone uses it differently. Mm-hmm. So when we lived in Italy, my psychic ability just kind of exploded. I had the ability to see into the future. And my track record was almost 100%. When we moved from Italy to Charleston, South Carolina, we moved into a house that was 18 months old. And we moved into this 18-month-old house that was on property that had been settled since the late 1600s, early 1700s. So we had a stunning amount of predecessor energy, and the house was profoundly haunted. So I had an introduction into predecessor energy, and I did not know how to remove a ghost in 1979. I contacted Duke University Parapsychology Division. I did everything I could. I laid salt. I burned sage, you know, which is worthless to remove a ghost. Yep. I did all those things. Nothing helped. I talked to the ghosts. They look at you. We did video recordings. There were poundings on the walls. And one night this ghost got in bed with me. I mean, it was some moments of terror I cannot begin to describe. And this ghost was a thief. How do you take your diamond earrings out? You put them in the cleaning solution and you wake up in the morning and one of them is missing. What thief takes one earring? Really? My son's tennis shoes vanished. They were neatly placed beside his bed in the morning. They were gone. Who takes a kid's tennis shoes? I mean, we had something like 25 or 30 items that vanished and never reappeared. Then I found out my entire neighborhood was haunted.
Right.
And so this went on and on and on. And I set my goal on a lifelong study to figure out how do I not just, quote, get rid of a ghost. These aren't ants or something you're trying to get rid of. I shifted my focus to, wow, how do I help them? When you change your focus from an inconvenience to service, then everything changes.
Yeah.
And I did eventually learn how to help them because I figured out I could see them on a much more significant level.
Well, that's how I got started. That's a very exciting way to get that training. and that is the shift. I've always said that if there's a problem, a paranormal problem for the living, you have to figure out what's going on for the ghost. And if the ghost can cross over, if the ghost can go home, then the problem goes away. So it isn't a matter of documenting the paranormal phenomena, which are pretty much the same wherever you go, theme and variations. They're, you know, the stories of what ghosts do are pretty consistent. But the phenomena makes sense when you realize what the ghosts are trying to do.
Yes, there is another level of knowledge that I would imagine many of your root listeners have not quite thought of, and that would be this. Let's go back to how you started your show, your metaphysical musings. And you talked about the new age to come, and it's a time of peace and harmony. You cannot have that if you have ghosts. And the reason is, if they don't cross over, they stay in that fourth dimensional no man's land. And some of the elements, some of the degrees of that dimension are profoundly dark. And people reincarnate from that dimension, which means that they come back again and again with the same difficulties. Mm. When you cross that soul into the heaven world, what happens is, number one, that soul is so profoundly grateful to you. They send gratitude to the living person who helped them. And when they're in the heaven world, in the fifth dimension, they receive healing to their etheric body, the essence of their soul, on a DNA level. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You get healing on a DNA level. You get to understand karma created. And when that person comes back, they're coming back 1,000% cleaner than when they reincarnate from the lower astral. And that's one of those little details that makes a difference. So what does the dark side feed on? The misery of the souls in the lower astral. If you cross them over, you deny the dark side of fuel. That's a big deal.
Well, you've already touched on two things that I've either not heard before or have not thought of that way. So let's just talk about them for a minute. I've never heard of the idea of people reincarnating from the astral plane. So that's fascinating.
Where do you think serial killers come from?
My sense was that they kind of didn't stay in heaven. They would cross over and then bounce back because their separation from God or goodness or however you want to call that love is so profound that they can't be there. so that they would come back. But I didn't think of it as never getting there, as reincarnating from the astral plane, which is a fascinating, has a lot of implications.
It's a physics problem.
Okay.
Everything is physics.
Well, and I want to tell people that one of the things you mentioned in some of the things I read is that you talk about the physics of metaphysics, so which is one of my favorite topics. So let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. When you look at God as the first mathematician, the first geologist, the first astronomer, the first astrophysicist, the first physician, the first of everything, the creator. When you look at it that way, when you look at the concepts that Christ and Buddha and all the great ones have tried to share with us, the element of forgiveness and compassion, when you cross over that which caused you to be, blunt, twisted, or in deep emotional pain inside, never gets healed, and it comes back again and again and again. But if that person is crossed over into the heaven world, and I've crossed over murderers, I've crossed over people who were murdered, mm-hmm. I cross them over together because the murderer sometimes holds on to his or her murder victims.
Interesting. But
when you cross them both over, all of a sudden, the torture that each of the parties felt begins to melt away. And there are many levels to the heaven world based on the karma the individual has created. The murder victim and the murderer are not going to go to the same conference room to discuss their life.
Yep. I talk about it as intake. And I've always hoped that it's improved since Beetlejuice.
Oh, Beetlejuice is priceless. Oh my heavens, that is priceless film.
You got to hope that the technology has improved since they did the movie.
Yes, but it really was quite creative, I have to say.
It was great, yep.
So when you look at it from that viewpoint, and you can come back and you're far more whole, perfect, and complete, and you've now had the benefit of the insight of the counselors of divine wisdom who exist in the heaven world, on this divine plane of existence, and they sit you down and you get to ask them, how did this work? Why did my father beat me? Why was my mother an alcoholic? Why did this boss torment me? Why was I so cruel to my sister? Why? When you can understand those things, then you can come back perhaps a wiser person, and there's a peacefulness to you. But if you reincarnate from the lower astral, the jealousies, the difficulties, the violence, the long-term animosities that exist, I mean, between Greece and Turkey and the Bosnians and the Serbs and the Jews and the Arabs, I mean, you can go on and on and on. They keep reincarnating over and over and over, and they're still fighting each other. Life after life after life after life. Right. So how does that reset button get pushed if we don't help them? Your turn.
Well, the way you're expressing it as hitting a reset button, and a lot of the work that I do, and I'm not sure whether you had a chance to look at my website. A lot of what I do is clearing land, including whatever souls are still stuck there for whatever reasons from whatever part of the timeline. But a lot of what I see is those old animosities literally coded into the buildings and the land. So it's not just the souls and the ghosts that are holding on to it and the people who have reincarnated, but it's the land itself that has all of that still going on until you clear that up. But the idea that people see, as soon as you have the idea that people reincarnate from the lower astral without crossing over and going through life review, a lot of the things that go on the planet that make no sense start to make sense. So it's a fascinating idea. And I've never heard that before. So just for my own curiosity, where is that something that you saw in doing your work? Is that something that you were told at some point? It's a fascinating concept.
Yes, I've talked to it's an uncountable number of ghosts, and I have removed an uncountable number.
Yep.
And I've worked with a woman today who she just knew there were a whole bunch of them there. And I actually, if I work with somebody one-on-one, if they think their house is haunted, I can remote view it. But it's so much more meaningful if you get to see it yourself.
Right.
Because you don't have to believe me. I want you to have the experience. I can do it in my sleep. But somebody else, that experience is astonishing. This woman working with me was able to remove thousands of them. We couldn't even count them all.
Yep.
We don't know who they were. And so in her case, there wasn't much we could talk about. She could only feel their intense sorrow that they were so cold and they were so hungry. And when we were able to do that, then, and after many of these experiences, what I can see in the light is this release. Their frequencies are so low. Again, it goes back to physics. If your frequency is super low, you can't just make that jump to light speed. You need someone to help you. You need someone to bridge that transition process. And when anyone can do it, there's nothing that special about me. So if you can help that person to do it, then they receive this knowledge. And I do talk to some of the intelligences on the other side because I have received much guidance as well. Mm-hmm. And this assistance helps the heaven world to help the earth. And when a ghost stays on the earth, they are a burden to the earth. They emit a black, sooty substance. You have ghosts in your house is never clean.
Right.
You have water problems. You have problems in the sleep state. You don't know whether to believe your children. You have arguments with your spouse. You have difficult insects can come into your house. Plants don't grow in certain spaces. And if you've looked at predecessor energy all this time, you've probably seen so much of that manifest in a person's life.
And most people don't have any concept at all that it's anything except the drama of their life. There's no idea that it's the house or the land or the history or however they would talk about it. It just never occurs to most people that there's something else going on.
However, you bring up an extremely important point. And I know that I'm watching your clock too. One of those points is, why is that person on that property in the first place?
Right.
And the answer is one word, resonance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that old phrase that we used to hear, birds of a feather flock together. Well, if you are in resonance with that level of misery for whatever reason, then you will find yourself in that position. But it doesn't mean you have to stay there. You can leave that situation, usually only after you have improved it. And improving it can be not as difficult as people think. That's why I created the crossing over prayer, so that anyone can help.
Right. Right. But in order to even have the thought of using that prayer, somebody has to come up with the thought that maybe this is not just my crazy family dynamic or my bad luck or whatever the doctor tells me is the reason that I'm not sleeping well or any of the usual stories, but that it's something else which is not physical, not seen, and is affecting them. And that's a huge jump for lots of people if they don't have any framework for it. So, you know, you knew as a kid that this stuff was real. You had an idea of it. You felt it. You've then had people explain it to you. But for the people that don't, it's just, why does this happen to me? They just don't get it. So these conversations, just telling people there's more going on, which is one of the reasons I do the show. There's just more going on with everything. And, you know, until people have that opening of being able to pay attention to that and think about that, there's no way to look at this. There's no way to make it.
That's absolutely true. And I wrote Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, and one of the chapters is about a rocket scientist who had a haunted house in Virginia.
Mm.
He spent the first 10 minutes of the conversation telling me he didn't believe in ghosts. And I said, dude, you called somebody who removes ghosts. Did you call the wrong number? And he says, no, I'm talking to you. I have a haunted house, but I don't believe in it. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Well, it's also that gets into the definition of belief. You know, belief is always hearsay. Belief is other people that I trust tell me that this is true. So I think it's true. I believe it. And I'll tell other people that I believe it. And I'm part of that group. Experience trumps belief every time. If you have an experience of something, whether you believe it or not, you can deny the experience, but it's really hard to deny the experience. And that was the cognitive dissonance that the rocket scientist was going through. This makes no sense in my worldview, and nobody I know believes in it, but I'm having this experience.
That's absolutely the case for him. He had a ghost who was in love with him, and she died in the Civil War, not because she was a soldier, but because she had another problem. And she turned the light on for him because she loved him.
Yep. Yeah.
And so finally, I cleared the ghost. She was not a difficult one. And the light wasn't on anymore. He'd had an electrician look at it, but the only time the light stayed off was when I removed the ghost.
Right.
And then the ghost would blow in the faces of his girlfriends and pull their hair and just terrified his dates when he brought them home. And he was now able to have, a relationship after that.
Well, yeah, that's a wonderful story because it's so straightforward and explains it so simply. We're going to be going to our break in a couple of minutes. I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you. What's your website?
My website is tinaerwin.com, Erwin with an E. It's very straightforward.
So TINAERWIN.com.
Correct.
And are you doing workshops or offering other things that people should know about?
I have 3 books out. The first one is The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief. The second one is The Lightworker's Guide to Everyday Karma. It's kind of a lighthearted look at how karma works. And the third one is Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View Trilogy, Volume 1. And there are 21 individual ghost stories which give you the point of view of what each ghost was feeling in that ghostly state and what it was like to cross them over and why they had not left. And each one is completely unique. And some of them will break your heart and some of them will cause you to smile.
And that's a perfect thing for us to do after the break. Because I want to hear some of those stories and bounce some of the things that I've seen and heard and experienced off those stories and off your experience. There we go. So we will be back in just a minute here on the Farkas Files with Tina Erwin, having a great time talking about ghosts. And don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America. where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Tina Irwin talking about ghosts from the ghost point of view. And I would love to hear some of the different issues that you've heard from ghosts and how what they're stuck on. Basically, you know, why don't they cross over?
Well, the number one reason is guilt. If you were told all your life that you were born in sin and you're going to die in sin, why would you think God would accept you?
Exactly.
And so it is one of the most tragic things that happen. That's one of the primary reasons people don't cross over. Another one is they simply don't know they're dead.
Yeah, and as I started doing more and more possession work, I started reading literature from all over the world, and basically all the, in quotation marks, experts say 80 to 90% of ghosts have no idea they're dead, which my story that confirmed that was I was working nights in a psych hospital, and a ghost was keeping one of the client's awake, and she had her voices, you know, she had the ghosts that followed her around that she'd been talking to for years, but this was somebody new that was harassing her. And long story short, I finally looked at him and said, "Do you know you're dead?" And his response was, "Oh, that explains a whole lot." He was still a pain in the neck and he didn't want to leave, but you know, it was the first time that I just had that conversation and got that obvious and incredibly funny confirmation that they just have no idea. They're just trying to do the best they can in a world that suddenly doesn't work. People don't hear them. They can't move stuff. You know, they don't have any idea what's going on.
They have no idea. Or they're the soldier on the battlefield that keeps dying over and over again. And they're almost universally cold. I'm not sure if you found that as well.
I haven't. I know that's one of the things that's reported. I haven't had them tell me that. But it's part of the reason that ghosts have parasitic relationships with living people is they don't have an energy source. They're looking for someone that, first of all, feels good, that makes them feel less afraid, but also they need the energy. And so whatever level of possession it is, it's always parasitic because they're always going, oh, this feels good and I want some more.
Which is why an alcoholic has such a difficult time giving up alcohol because, this is in accordance with the many psychiatrists who have crossed the line and accepted some of the issues of metaphysics. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, Dr. Raymond Moody, Dr. Brian Weiss, many of them discuss the fact that one person's body can have up to 60 ghosts, especially if you have an alcoholic situation. And the reason the alcoholic can't give up the alcohol is that the ghosts are always thirsty.
Right. There are always alcoholics that want the experience of drinking. When people say, oh, possession can't be real, I said, oh, you've seen somebody be possessed. If you drink and you've been hanging out with people that drink, and you know anybody where people say, well, when he drinks, he's like another person, you've watched a possession.
Exactly.
They leave their body. They get less and less connected. They can't start slurring their words and losing control. And then all of a sudden, they're the life of the party and there's another personality there. And it goes on all the time, but nobody goes, whoa, wait a minute, who the hell are you? And bars, I haven't been to a bar in years because it's so much work. If I'm hanging out with people that are drinking, they're being attacked constantly, and I've got to, you know, do all this intense work to keep them away. I went to Las Vegas twice to talk, and it's not just ghosts there; it's demons too. But it's everywhere because people are giving permission by going to Las Vegas. You know, that's where you go to act all your stuff out.
I think you're absolutely correct.
And for people that are blackout drunks, they're so far away from their body that, as somebody put it, the information about what they did isn't written to their hard drive. It's just not an experience that has anything to do with their physical body.
That would be true. I think there's another element here, and that has to do with why is their frequency so low in the first place that they became an alcoholic? Because what we're seeing is a symptom of a much larger problem.
Right.
And that part of that problem is they have no auric field left. And your auric field is your force field. It's your shields up. But if you were sexually abused, sexually, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually abused, your auric field looks like Swiss cheese. If you have post-traumatic stress disorder, you virtually have no auric field at all.
Right.
Because your adrenal glands are utterly blown, which causes a symptom, situation called pyroluria, which I actually have a couple of YouTube videos on my website, which discusses how you restore that auric field, because a person who has post-traumatic stress disorder has way too much adrenaline coming in at the slightest thing. They simply have no force field left, which means that they're vulnerable to any ghost that wants to walk in.
Right.
And well, when
I do remote clearings on people, I look at their chakras and how many and the kinds of entities and how many there are. And if I see someone with the lower two chakras chronically closed and lots of attachments and lots of cords to other people, the first question I ask is, were you abused as a child? Because it's such a common and obvious pattern. And it's typically 90 to 95% of the people that I ask will say, well, you know, they'll try and hedge it, but they say, yeah, that happened. And part of that pattern is with the lower chakras is if you're a terrified little helpless child, it's less painful and scary to be out of your body than to be in your body. So it's a useful adaptation to close your lower chakras and slide out of your body if you're a little kid. But you learn that under stress, that's what you do. So for the rest of their lives, anytime they're stressed out, they're out of their body. So they're constantly vulnerable.
Also, their subconscious is frozen at the age of their earliest trauma.
Yes.
That's just really sad.
Yeah, so a terrified four-year-old is running the show.
Exactly. You have a child and then a big body, basically.
Yeah.
And the body is just inhabited. That's very difficult. So,
and, yeah, there are lots of variations on it, but that's basically the pattern. And it's, you know, it's a self-selecting group that I look at, obviously, because people are saying something's wrong, take a look. But the number of people that have that combination of the lower chakras chronically closed, lots of aura damage, and lots of attachments is huge. It's just huge.
It is such a large number. I think people would be, they would shudder if they knew. And that is the source of, it is the basic source of illness. And I, my personal feeling is it is the basic source of all cancer.
I could see that. Because basically the aura is the spiritual immune system. And once that's completely wrecked, everything starts in the energy field and works its way into the greater density of the physical body. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. Yeah, all kinds of things happen. And it always also starts with some emotional trigger. There's some chronic emotional trigger that is going on, which is being held in the auric field. And it eventually works its way into the physical.
I couldn't agree more. And that also can happen to a person who has a loved one die. Let's say this person dies of this, some bizarre type of cancer, whatever the cancer is that they die of, and they were very close, and maybe they were a caregiver. And the person who dies has a myriad of emotions for having died this way, and maybe they felt like they were burdened because this person devoted their time to helping them. So they don't leave. They hang around the living person. And so now the resonance level is even higher. And they are so part of that person, they literally are part of their body. And eventually, there have been cases where the living person develops the same cancer that caused their loved one to die.
Well, there are also people, once somebody has figured out that a ghost is involved, who have picked up the injuries and the diseases of the ghost that's attached to them, having nothing to do with whether or not it was a loved one. And they were involved in the death. So it could just be a hitchhiker that showed up for whatever reason. And if it's a chronic connection to that hitchhiker, people start getting all kinds of stuff, which, of course, the doctors look at as their issue. But you can't heal something that's from somebody else.
Well, David, that brings up a really interesting symptom. And one of the symptoms of notice for some people who are psychic, this isn't 100%, they have this chronic, non-productive cough that a doctor can't find a reason for. Have you found that?
I haven't heard of that one, but it wouldn't surprise me. And certainly lung issues and chest issues, unspecified chest pain. I've had that. I know a lot of other people that have had that, and it never is anything.
It may not be. If you're breathing in the psychic soot that a ghost basically emits, psychically you're breathing it in. And you're, if you have a strong auric field and a strong body, your body will try to reject it and you start to cough. Yep. Some psychics start to burp when they're in the presence of a ghost. So you have some physical anomalies for which there is no logical medical explanation.
Right.
And so if that happens to you and you can't explain it, then you have to look outside of the norm. Doctors only know how to treat symptoms. They seldom find the root cause. It's not an indictment. It's simply an observation.
Well, it's the Western medical model is no longer particularly based on cure. It's based on dealing with symptoms. Dealing with symptoms and then dealing with the symptoms created by whatever you did for the previous symptom. But there are very few interventions that they do that really are looking at curing what the source of the problem is. and certainly not looking at the emotional or psychic causes of problems. One of the things I'm talking to more and more people that are just starting to realize that they're empaths, that they're picking up the thoughts and feelings of everybody around them. And at this point, people are picking it up from the planet and from all kinds of things, and they don't realize that they have that sensitivity. And the first thing that I tell them is that you need to ask the question, is this mine? Because most of your thoughts, most of your emotions, most of the symptoms are not yours. They came from somewhere else.
That's a really important question. And if you can, if you can even think to ask that question and it's not yours, then the next logical thought is, what do I do with this?
Right.
And who can help me? And I, one of the books, I'm like you, I've been studying all my life. One of the wonderful books is David Hawkins's book, Power Versus Force.
Yes.
Because she discusses frequency. And you discuss a lot of physics on your website.
Mm-hmm.
So if energy is neither created nor destroyed, then there's an energy that may be surrounding us. So we have to understand what energy are we in resonance with and what causes us to have a strong energetic field, a strong auric field, and what reduces that frequency. The higher your frequency, the harder it is for a ghost to come to you.
Right, right.
Or to interfere with you or something dark to be a problem. And changing your frequency is just, it is a lifelong, wonderful aim.
And it, since it's a healing process, you have to heal all the things that are lowering your frequency, and that is, what are the politically correct words here? It's hard, and sometimes it hurts. So
yes,
most people
is tough.
Yeah, and most people are, first of all, don't have a clue, but secondly, are not willing to do things that are that hard. They don't want the emotional pain. They don't want to have to look at the things they have to look at. And I think that's part of the cause for our addictive society, where everybody is looking for an easy thrill and something to, in, you see me with air quotes here, take the edge off, you know, alcohol or whatever drug of choice that they're using, is, I don't want to feel this and I don't want to know what it is. I just want it to go away and I'll just handle it some other time. And there is no other time.
And David, don't you also find that there are the issue of thrill seeking? That's what kind of bothers me about all the ghost hunters.
Yeah.
They're just not hard to find. Go into a hospital. There's a lot of ghosts in a hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there is a protocol for depossession in Chinese medicine, which I discovered only because spirit dragged me kicking and screaming to the magazine shelf in Barnes & Noble and said, look at this magazine. and it was Qi magazine, and it was about the protocol for healing possession. And they make an assumptive diagnosis that if you have been in a hospital or a funeral home or a cemetery and your personality or your health changes, that the issue is possession and they treat. So it's so common that they don't even go further to try and figure it out. They just do the treatment, which exactly. is as usual, both herbal and energy medicine. So,
well, there are a couple of tools that, if it's okay, I would like to share with your listeners.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
One of them is use the crossing over prayer. If you think you have a ghost with you and you are, and I can only believe that people who are listening to your show are really good people. This is a wonderful form of service because it really helps them, and it's the compassion you would want for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to clean yourself on a daily basis, and the things I am suggesting I do myself every single day, let's get a good salt scrub or make your own and put about a tablespoon of salt in the palm of your hand or in some washy gloves or your washcloth and wash your auric field with salt. It gets rid of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Especially wash your feet. Use essential oils use essential oils on your feet and your body 365 days of the year, because those oils raise your frequency. If you think you have something dark, play the music of Mozart. You don't even have to hear it, but that tonal quality, frequency of Mozart is extremely high.
So are there particular essential oils that you recommend?
I'm a fan of Young Living's essential oils, as long as they're as pure as possible. Sweet orange oil absolutely clears a location of a lot of dark things. Lavender is really helpful, but I probably have 100 different oils. Mm-hmm. If you want a high-frequency oil and you have to walk into a hospital, put frankincense oil on your solar plexus, this form of a cross.
Mm,
okay. There's a reason these frankincense and myrrh were given to the Christ child.
Right.
Nobody ever asked that question. It's like, he got these cool gifts. Now, what were they and how did he use them? But you never get that answer. And I suspect the answer is because they protected him, because frankincense is an extremely powerful oil. It's a high frequency. And sage will not get rid of a ghost. You need dragon's blood. If you burn the resins of frankincense, myrrh, dragon's blood, and benzoin, which are available from mountain rose herbs, they are resin. The incense doesn't work. Sage right. doesn't work. The ghost just stands there. Those resins have this wonderful white smoke. Leave a window open, and you'll see, if you think you have a dark intelligence, this makes them leave. And the other thing is burn a green light bulb, these old-fashioned Christmas lights, or you can get party lights at a Home Depot-type store,
right.
Lux or something. That green light frequency makes it very difficult for a ghost to enter a room or a dark intelligence. This is especially helpful for small children. Sometimes it's Occam's razor. The simplest solution is sometimes the best.
Right.
These salt lamps that people are using are phenomenal for clearing, for keeping your space clean and clear and fresh. Salt works in every dimension.
Yep.
So just throwing some things out there.
And I have some more ideas, but we're running out of time, which is one of the wonderful things that happens almost every week with the incredible people I have on the show. So I hope that you're willing to come back and continue the conversation, because this conversation could go on forever.
Yes. I would be delighted.
Fantastic. So give people your website once again.
It's tinaerwin.com, T-I-N-A-E-R-W-I-N.
And the crossing over prayer that you were talking about is on the website.
It's on the website in 9 languages.
And there are some other resources that can be downloaded from the website, as I recall.
Yes, I have. My books are ebooks and on-demand books, and they're available wherever any of these things are sold. And I have a YouTube channel that explains all kinds of interesting things, from the crossing over prayer and how to help, to what is pyroluria and why do you care, and how do you clean crystals. Just all different kinds of things, fun things.
Fantastic.
And I have a blog that comes out every week, so that's on the website too.
Well, this is one of those connections that I know will last a long time, and we will help each other work together and do all kinds of things. So I'm very excited. Great to meet you, Tina, and thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, David, for having me.
My pleasure. This was great fun. Yes. So again, my guest tonight has been Tina Erwin, and I'm sure she will be on the show again. So if any of this made you curious about my work, you can go to househealing.com, and on the contact page, cleverly, are all the ways that you can get in touch with me, including my scheduling calendar. I do a free 20-minute assessment of what's going on and how I might be able to be helpful to you, so please take advantage of that. If you're looking for, or you want to tell other people about the show, the whole archive of all the past shows and this one are at thefarkasfiles.com. You can also find them on iTunes podcasts, and we're now on iHeartRadio and a whole bunch of other talk radio feeds. So look for Empower Radio on any radio feed that you run across on the internet. And again, thank you so much for being with us. I know most of our listeners listen at their convenience somewhere else. So wherever you are in the world, whatever time it is, thanks for being with us. Thank you one and all for being here. And we will be back next week for more fun. Look at all this interesting stuff on the Farkas Files. So this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a wonderful week.